of the world. He's going to be the reason why we're there. And boy, I hope you know him today as Savior. If you don't, boy, it'd be a good day to give your heart and life to Jesus. I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to the Old Testament. Very familiar passage, Psalm 23. So we're going to go. I actually was going to go to Psalm 150. I came in, Brother Scott, as he came in the back of the door, he gave me a little thing here that I put in my pocket. Had Psalm 23, and it reminded me of something. And I want to share something with you out of Psalm 23, and probably one of the most beloved psalms in all the Bible. Of course, we hear it a lot of times around funeral season, when a funeral's come. But listen, Psalm 23 is something that I believe will help every one of us at some point or the other in our life. There's so many things in our Brother T.R. that'll help us. And you think about the book of Psalm, of course, is made up of five divisions. And you say, well, what are you talking about five divisions, preacher? Well, there's five times in the book of Psalm where it ends in a doxology. And you say, well, now, what is a doxology? That is literally a praise to the Lord. You'll find it in Psalm 41, Psalm 72, Psalm 89, Psalm 106, and then in Psalm 150, it closes out. Every one of those that come with a doxology or praise to God closes out one of those divisions. Now, the first five books of the Bible is referred to as the Pentateuch. Penta meaning five, the first five books of the Bible. Of course, the law is contained in there. You got Genesis, you got Exodus, you got Leviticus, you got Numbers, and you got Deuteronomy. All five of those divisions of the book of Psalm, it parallels the first five books of the Bible. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, from Psalm 1 to Psalm 41, we call that the Genesis division. And the main point of emphasis is the word man. And you go through Genesis or Psalm 1 to Psalm 41, notice the emphasis that is placed on man. It parallels the first book of the Bible, Genesis. And then it ends in Psalm 41 with the last couple of verses ending in a doxology and a praise to God. And that enters in Psalm 42, the second division, which is a parallel of the second book of the Bible, which was the book of Exodus. Now, the book of Exodus, the main emphasis is deliverance. And when you see that, from Psalm 42 to Psalm 72, that is the Exodus division where the main emphasis is on deliverance. So when you go through Psalm, from Psalm 42 to Psalm 72, notice the time where it talks about deliverance. It parallels the second book of the Bible, Exodus. Then you get to the book of Leviticus division, and you think from Psalm 73 to Psalm 89. There is a great emphasis on the sanctuary or the temple or the tabernacle. I love Psalm 73. The psalmist said, you know, he began to get his eyes on the world and how the wicked prosper. And until he went into the sanctuary, I understood therein. Boy, thank God for the sanctuary. That's what we're in today, by the way. And I understand it's made out of brick and mortar, but thank God for the house of God and the local church that we have. And from Psalm 73 to Psalm 89 is considered the Leviticus division. And of course, it ends up in there in Psalm 89, that doxology ends in a praise to God. That gets you to the fourth division, beginning in Psalm 90. It runs all the way to Psalm 106. And that parallels the Numbers division of Psalm. Well, what's the main emphasis there from Psalm 90 to Psalm 106? Well, the main emphasis is the wilderness and the desert. That was a picture of the whole book of Numbers, and it's laid out in the book of Psalm. Well, that psalm closes out in Psalm 106 in a doxology, in a praise to God at the very end of Psalm 106. Then you get into Psalm 107 to Psalm 150. That closes out the fifth division of the book of Psalm, which parallels the book of Deuteronomy, Brother Randy, and the main emphasis of that is the Word of God. Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in our Bible, it talks about the Word of God, it talks about the statutes, it talks about the testimonies and the principles of the Word of God, and that is the emphasis on it. And then you close out Psalm 150 with that doxology. There are six verses in Psalm 150 where I was going to go today, 13 times. 13 times, Brother Harold, you'll find the word praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 17 times. In all of these divisions, these five, it all comes back at the end with a praise and a doxology unto the Lord God of heaven. Now, Psalm 23 falls in that first division, the division of Genesis, where man is the emphasis. Now, of course, we know Psalm 22, that was a picture of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But Psalm 23 is a picture of the shepherd. And there's a great picture in our Bible, Brother Kevin, with the relationship of the shepherd and the sheep. Now, I want to remind you, we are God's mascot. Now, you think about a mascot in college basketball. You might have a wolf can bite you. A bear can bite you. A tiger or anything. I mean, the mascot that they have is something most time fierce. But God's mascot is a sheep. And that's you and I. Do you know that sheep have been defined as the world's dumbest animal? One of them. That's what God likens us unto. Now, boy, I hate to burst our bubble right there. You know, a lot of folks haven't got a whole lot of humility. But again, we can't boast about anything. Again, we can trace all of our ancestry back to dirt. But understand, he likens us unto sheep. Isaiah 53, verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. And all through the Bible, you see that parallel of the sheep. And there's one thing that the sheep has to have, because the sheep, just like those mascots, a cat can scratch you, a dog can bite you. What can a sheep do? A sheep has no defensive mechanism whatsoever. He is totally dependent upon the shepherd. And that's the way you and I are. You look in the New Testament, Lord Jesus Christ is referred to in three different ways when it comes to the shepherd. Number one, he's referred to as a good shepherd. John chapter 10 and verse number 11. Then in Hebrews 13 and verse number 20, he's referred to as the great shepherd. Then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, he's referred to as the chief shepherd. Well, now, what's the difference in those three with him being a good shepherd and a great shepherd and a chief shepherd? If you look those verses up in John 10, 11, he's seen as a good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, as a great shepherd, in Hebrews 13, 20, he's referred to as that great shepherd that rises again to take care of his sheep. Boy, I'm glad the day that I got born into the family of God. The choir just sang about it. I'm glad I got lost so I could get in. Ever since I've been saved, man, there's a God that's looked after me, because he ain't dead. Thank God he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible lets us know that in multiple passages. But he rose again to care for his sheep. And he's seen in that as a great shepherd. Then the chief shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. The Bible, Peter said on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, when the chief shepherd, when he shall appear, what's that mean? He's coming again to get his sheep as the chief shepherd. He still ain't changed his mind. But in Psalm 23, the Lord lays out this great text in Psalm 23, and I want to give you several things here. Now, the help of the Lord, if the Lord will help us, so, because the Lord don't help us, we're going to be in trouble. Psalm 23, the Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is that? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, if you bow and you pray to God again this morning, saying thank you for the good word of God. Lord, you know the need of every situation, every heart that's in this building today, in this auditorium. Those who are here physically, those that are listed by way of the live stream, the Facebook, the telephone, Lord, even the CD ministry. Father, I ask that you'd meet every need right now. I confess that I'm nothing. Lord, you are everything. God, just help us, guide us through this. As Lord, I'm just trusting you on this word this morning out of Psalm 23. Speak to every heart. There's one that's lost. I pray that you'd save them by your grace. That one that needs encouragement, I pray that you do what's needed and necessary. God, we'll be careful to give you thanks and give you praise for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people see him. Amen. Well, we've read this very familiar passage out of Psalm 23, and I love it. And it starts off, and if you miss the first, basically, line of Psalm 23, you miss the whole thing. For the Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, it's one thing to say, yeah, Jesus is a shepherd. It's one thing to say, yeah, the Lord is a shepherd to Sister Debbie. The Lord is a shepherd to Brother Liam. It's quite a difference to say, hey, the Lord is my shepherd. And that is a personal side of Psalm 23. Did you know there's people today that have even made this statement, they don't believe God is a personal God? Are you kidding me? That's the only type of God he is. He desires to have a personal relationship with me. He desires to have a personal relationship with you. But you better make sure that you can say, hey, yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. How in the world do we enter the Christian life? How do we become a sheep of his pasture? I tell you, it's by getting saved. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse number 7, you must be born again. That is still the avenue where an individual must be saved in order to enter in that relationship with the Lord God of heaven. And we become that sheep, and he is our shepherd. There's things that we're going to face in life, Brother Dobie. There's things that we need defense as well. We're defenseless as sheep, but thank God we have got a shepherd. Once we yoke up by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. By the way, he did die for you. He died for me. He died for the sins of the whole world. Regardless of what you've done, where you've been, he can forgive you of all your sin. You got to come to him by faith and call on the name of the Lord. And according to the word of God, Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's good news. All the negative news we got today, that's good news for the child of God. But you better make sure that you can say, yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. If he's not, man, today is a day of salvation for you. But we look at that and we think about the psalmist saying that the Lord is my shepherd. That's the personal side of Psalm 23. They'll go a little further. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's the plentiful side of Psalm 23. I shall not want. What does that mean, preacher? Well, when you get saved, the psalmist puts it this way in Psalm 30, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you ever taste the Lord Jesus Christ at salvation, you'll have to confess that he's good. And listen, there's plenty that abounds on our behalf. David put it this way in Psalm 37 and verse number 25. He said, I've been young and now am old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What are you trying to say, preacher? When you yoke up by faith, personally, the Lord becomes your shepherd. You shall not want. There will be plenty. Because we know the one that owns it all. Now you think about this. If a youngin' comes to you needing something, you're going to do everything you can within your power to try to help them along the way. Well, how much more will our Father, which is in heaven, help us, the children? Amen. Think about the birds of the air. They don't build barns to put their food in, yet God takes care of their needs. Think about the lilies of the field. Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter number 6. They toil not, and yet in all of their glory, look how magnificent they are just by looking at it. God feeds the lilies of the field. He feeds the sparrows of the air. He feeds the birds. He feeds all of them, and he takes care of you and I. And when you know him in a personal way, thank God there will be plenty, and you won't have to want. You might say, well, wait a minute, preacher, I want a Camaro. Well, you know, sometimes God even gives us our wants, but he supplies our needs. Amen. He's a good God, by the way. When it comes to Psalm 23 and you think about the side of this, he is a person. We see the personal side. The Lord is my shepherd. We see that I shall not want. There's the plentiful side of it. Then he said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know what? I'm glad he don't make us lie down old filthy stuff. Amen. Yeah, man. You see somebody caught up in old filthiness and filthy living, God didn't lead them into that. Amen. Yeah, man. But he'll lead us to lay down in those green pastures. And that is positional. Notice he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, most time when you're laying down, that has to do with rest. Does it not? When you lie down, unless you're sick, you lie down. That has to do with rest. What Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28, come to me all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Boy, there ain't nothing like the rest that God can give to you and I. He makes us lie down in green pastures. And, of course, for the sheep would be right at home there. His need would be met. He's not laying down in filthiness. He's not laying down in trash. He's laying down where he can be fed and where he can rest. You know, there's a lot of folks today that don't have any rest for their soul. You know that? Just look around you, man. Look at the chaos and the confusion, no rest whatsoever. But I'm telling you this, you say, when a preacher, you know, if I come to Christ, will all my problems go away? No, you're still going to have some issues. You're still going to have some problems in this thing called life, but God can give you rest. He can give you a peace, according to Philippians 4 and verse number 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, regardless of what the world throws our way, regardless of what we deal with in life, whether it be death or destruction or disease or disappointment or discouragement, regardless of what comes our way, if the Lord is your shepherd in a personal way, you shall not want, there'll be plenty. He'll make you lay down in green pastures. Positionally, you'll be able to lay down and rest, but we ain't done. He said he making me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's peace. Peaceful sort of goes along with lying down in those green pastures. Leads you beside the still waters. I remember doing that study on the sheep years ago. A sheep will not drink out of rushing water. It's got to be calm. And the shepherd would lead them to that particular place where they can drink of that water. And thank God for the peace that God will send our way. Even in a peaceless society, in a peaceless world. Preacher, how in the world are we going to make it through this thing? I tell you, you're going to have a shepherd. You're going to have a shepherd, man. And what you do, all these benefits apply with the sheep and the shepherd relationship. We know him and he knows us. But notice the next thing, he restoreth my soul. Now, boy, that's powerful. When it comes to restoration, Brother Randy, God done what you couldn't do, what I couldn't do, what our mom and dad couldn't do, what the preacher couldn't do, what the church couldn't do, what the Baptist denomination couldn't do, what baptism wouldn't do, what tithing couldn't do, what church membership couldn't do. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just do some of it. He done it all. And there's power in the restoration work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God he took me. I was nothing. And that's what you were, by the way. He took nothing and turned us into something. There's folks that might say, well, you'll never amount to anything. And they might be right outside of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But once he becomes your shepherd and you are his sheep, I'm telling you, there's power in the restoration work of the Lord Jesus. Some of you are in here today, man, God pulled you out of the ditch of sin. Some of you were hooked on drugs. Some of you were hooked on dope. Some of you dealt with alcohol. Some of you were just on a church pew, but you're just as lost as a drug addict down the street. And thank God somebody loved you enough that they preached the gospel unto you, and God in the Holy Ghost began to deal with your heart and conviction. And maybe you walked the aisle here at Faith Community Baptist Church or somewhere else, and you gave your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll have to agree with me that, man, that restoration work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he done what nobody else could do. And that was powerful. He restoreth my soul. You see, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That's providential. That's where divine intervention came in. He leadeth me in the path. He leads me the paths of righteousness. Well, why does he do that? He tells us why. For his name's sake. You see, there's the purpose. Why does he lead us in the paths of righteousness? Because his testimony banks upon us. You say, well, preacher, that don't make sense. Oh, yeah, it does. Think about this. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. I know Christ is my Savior. You know, and it's important. A lot of folks say, well, I can do whatever I want to do. And that's right. You can do whatever you want to do. The consequences do apply. Did you know if you go out of here and maybe old say, well, I come to church on Sunday, I come on Wednesday or whatever. Well, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is very important as well. Because eyes are watching you, ears are listening unto you. And three ways we represent folks. You say, what are you talking about? Well, number one, you represent your family. The Bible talks about that good name. You represent your family everywhere you go. So you better live right. Amen. You represent your family. Number two, you represent your church. If it doesn't, and it'll work anywhere. If you belong somewhere else, you say, well, I'm a member of such and such, or I'm a member of Faith, a member of Mount Bethel, a member of Turner's Creek, members of Northwood, member of Wood, makes no difference. Whatever church you're associated with, and you go out and you live a certain way, That testimony is going to reflect back not only on your family but on your church. But what about this? It also reflects back on your Savior. You say, oh, I know Christ is my Savior. Then you go out and you live like the devil. No wonder folks won't come to Christ. Amen. You see, we can be a stumbling block or we can be a stepping stone. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want you to be a stumbling block. But a lot of times we do by our actions and our behavior outside of here. But that's why the Lord won't lead us in the paths of unrighteousness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There's providential, the divine intervention right there, Him leading us in the paths of righteousness. Then the purpose of it is for His name's sake. Then He said, yea, though I'll, verse number four. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Boy, there's the prayerful side of Psalm 23. You know, there's going to be times we're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's coming. Oh, yeah, it's coming. But just remember, that shadow of a gun cannot shoot you. Shadow of a knife cannot cut you. The shadow of death cannot harm the child of God. Why? Well, it goes on to say, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And you see that prayerful time when you get alone with God. And listen, I hope you don't do this. I'm afraid a lot of folks do. Folks will sort of serve God when it's convenient until a big health issue comes or some kind of financial deal or relationship problem or job loss and the world gets turned upside down and maybe they don't think much about God for months on end and then finally that trial comes, that tragedy comes and you pull out that old spare tire. God, I sure do need you now. What we ought to do is stay close to God all the way through. And yes, we can cast our care upon Him, for He careth for you. But those times when we pray and we got one interceding on our behalf, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, it's not a matter of if, but when we walk through those valleys. You know, it's all appointed unto us, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this is judgment. We understand Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 2 said there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Death is on our trail. We see that in the life of David as Saul was after him in 1 Samuel 20. Verse number 3 said there's but one step between me and death. And we're going to face that death and that shadow. But it cannot harm the child of God because we've got somebody with us. But that's the prayerful side. But then you got the protective side where he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, wait a minute. I just overlooked one. Fear no evil. You know what that is? That's philosophical. I will fear no evil. What is that? The shadow of death, and that death, you know, sometimes it can trip us up in our thinking, in our mind. The Bible talks about holding captive every thought. But he said, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. That's philosophical. Has to do with our mind, with our thinking. How you know that, preacher? Fear does not come from the Lord. Got any Bible for that? Multiple passages, but 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, God give us something between these two ears, and it's called a brain. And we can reason things out. We shouldn't fear when death comes as a child of God. Why? I mean, I don't think anybody's looking forward to the process of dying. I mean, who wants to sign up today? We got any takers? I mean, most of us want to live as long as we can. And we're not looking forward to the process, but we don't have to fear death. Amen. Because you go on and he said, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's a protectional side of the Lord. Why don't I have to fear philosophical? Why don't I have to fret about this? Because we got somebody with us. I think in that old red hymn book we sing every once in a while, Brother Bobby loved that song, I got somebody with me. Somebody is with me. Who is that? That's none other than the Lord. One of these days, oh yeah, Brother Evan, we're going to close our eyes in death. I hope it's way on down the line. And when we close our eyes in death, you don't have to fret about it. You don't have to wonder about it. I'm glad we got somebody that'll go with us all the way to the end of the world. Amen. So we think about all these things. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Watch this, there's partiality too. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Some of them might say, well, now, wait a minute, I didn't think God showed partiality. Oh, yeah, he does. Well, how do you explain that? If you don't believe he shows partiality, how are you going to explain that verse right there? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The enemies there looking for me, waiting for me to fall. They're waiting for me to stumble. And the Lord lays out a spread, man. Amen. And he shows his partiality to his children. Thank God he'll look after his own. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thine enemies. Watch this. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now, some of you would have a problem with this, wording on this, but we find the Pentecostal side of Psalm 23. Thou anointest my head with oil. That word anointest literally means, if I can recollect and remember that, it has to do with fat and fatness. He anoints our head with oil, my cup runneth over. That word Pentecost has to do with 50. 50 days after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the permanent abiding presence fell on that crowd in Acts chapter number 2, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18 said, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's too many Baptists that are afraid of the Holy Ghost today and the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of it. Listen, thank God for it. With the filling of the Holy Ghost, he anoints our head with oil. My cup runneth over. It'd do good if some of our old dead and our dead Baptist church members would get some life in them, man, and understand they ain't going to hell, they're going to heaven. Did everybody hear me? If you know Christ, you ain't going to hell, you're going to heaven. We don't need to sit soaking sour like an old wooden Indian on a church pew. It's all right. Again, Psalm 150, 13 times in 6 verses, they said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Psalm 107, verse number 2 said, let the redeemed the Lord say so. So is just a two-letter word. Hey, God's people ought to say something. God don't expect you to say much. Just say so. Thank God that you're redeemed. And boy, once you get it, your cup runs over to overflow. That's Pentecostal. That's the Pentecostal side. That's like that Brother T.R. Hey, if I've told y'all this before, one Sunday night, this guy came in and sitting in the back of the church, first time he ever came, the last time he ever came. He came in, he's new to the area. And he said, man, just want to visit the church. And I have no idea what I preached that night. It's on a Sunday night. And anyhow, he was the first one that met me at the doors. We were getting ready. That's before Brother Jamie was back there at the front greeting. And he went out the door as I shook his hand, and he was holding on to my hand. He looked at the sign, and he said, I thought this was a Baptist church. I said, it is a Baptist church. He said, no, you're Pentecostal. Whatever. Don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost. Thank God, don't be afraid to get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, he'll anoint your head with oil. So you go on to say, there thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Watch this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There's the provisional side of Psalm 23. Sort of goes with the first part, I shall not want, with the plentiful side, but the provisional side, God, Brother Adrian, God will give us everything that we need. Amen. Everything that we need for the journey. Thank God he has supplied. He has met every need. But think about this last one there. The last part of that, what's it saying? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. There's the perennial side of Psalm 23. You know, you plant, sometimes they're called annuals. That means you got to keep planting them every year. But that perennial is just keeps on going. Thank God I'm glad we yoked up by faith, Brother Danny. We signed a contract by faith that it wasn't just in the good times or in the bad times, but all the way through. Perennial from everlasting. Thank God we're going to be with the Lord. Every one of us is going to spend eternity somewhere. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. What makes a difference, preacher? What makes a difference what I'm telling you about today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? That first few words, the Lord is my shepherd. The first 5 words will define how you're going to stand in eternity. The Lord is my shepherd. One word, my. Can you say he is my shepherd? Ever been a time where you trusted Christ as your Savior? If I were to ask you, why should God let you go to heaven? It better not be, well, I'm a church member of faith. Or I'm a church member somewhere else, Sister Savannah's coming. It better not be, why should God let you go to heaven? It better not be because I'm a good person. I live a good moral life. I don't use God's name in vain. I tithe, I'm a church member. That better not be your answer to why you're going to heaven. Anything short of knowing Christ as Savior, friend, you're not ready to meet God. You're not ready to go out into eternity, but I'm glad today. The Bible still said in Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Regardless of what you've done. See, here's the good news. I've met folks, Brother Evans said, well, I just don't believe God could save me. I've done too many things wrong. That's what the devil wants you to think. But I'm here to tell you the blood of Jesus was sufficient to wash away all of your sin. But you got to come to Him by faith. You got to do what everybody else has to do. And then you can say, yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. But if you're not saved, that's your greatest need. But you might have walked in here today and maybe you're struggling. Maybe you say, preacher, they just ain't no peace in my heart and in my life. Listen, God can give you that peace. You say, preacher, I've used God as a spare tire, but I really don't want to do it. You know what? I'm glad God gives us opportunities. You don't get saved but one time. But there's times where sometimes you just got to rededicate some things unto the Lord. And boy, God will change your life. God will help you today. But let this Psalm 23, it's all so familiar. It's all so that we get familiar with it. But boy, to know the shepherd of Psalm 23 is what makes all the difference in the world. If you're struggling in an area of your life, you need Jesus, boy, now's the time to respond by faith. So we